following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office here in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for downloading, tuning in, streaming, whatever it is that you're doing to get this program. We appreciate you doing it. Such as it is, it's a fine program for you coming up here a little bit later on. It was a moment with Andrea Staton, lovely young lady who has fallen in love with the North Mississippi Hill Country style of music, and we're going to hear her perform it, and we're going to have a chat with her, and it'll be big. Yes, sirree, buddy. Oh, pardon me, I'm a little gassy. I'm drinking some mineral water. What? Mineral water? What's wrong with you, bro? Dude, I love this stuff. This is not an ad, but the Topo Chico, oh my God. There's something about that water. It cures what ails you. And I had kind of a rich lunch today, and I'm still sort of, you know, enjoying that. And man, this water, man, that tightens a brother up, you know what I'm saying? You know, those of you who follow my personal Twitter or Instagram or Facebook page, whatever, you occasionally see a picture of my dog. His name is Duke. He's a greyhound. He's a retired racing greyhound. He's a lovely creature. He's got a wonderful sense of self. He's got a sense of humor. I can tell you that. He's a silly young man, but he seems to be a bit baffled by the time change. You know, we just left daylight savings and went into standard time, and he's a little worked up about these sorts of things. His clock is off. You know, one of the things about the retired racing dogs is that their lives are very, very much by the clock. You know, they, at certain times, they do certain things. You know, they go out at this time and this time and this time. You know, they go like 4 or 5 times a day. They do certain training regimens at certain times of the day. Well, and he's not doing that anymore. He lives here with us. So he gets to basically do whatever he wants, but he still is somewhat of a creature of habit. He's used to eating at very specific times. He eats twice a day. And that he comes looking for food about an hour before I usually serve it to him. And he's been like, hey, dude. So I've moved that up. Now what's going to happen when we move back into daylight savings time in 6 months time? He's going to be like, I'm not ready to eat now. Why is this food out here? His whole, you know, what time it is to get up. He doesn't get that whole extra hour of sleep because this poor bastard, he sleeps all day long. You know, he doesn't care. He does not care. He doesn't understand it when I try and tell him things. And he's a pretty smart guy. I mean, you know, everybody who owns a dog, well, their dog's smart. And Duke, to a certain extent, is a fairly smart boy. And, you know, like I said, he's a creature of habit. He's a fine boy. Well, just recently, he had him a birthday. I know this because I have his birth certificate. That's the thing about these retired dogs is you get all the paperwork, you know, from where they came from and all that other fun stuff. And for his birthday, not that he, like I said, it's not like he has a calendar or he doesn't care. He's just happy to be anywhere I am, really. And so I decided, I thought it was a nice day. I thought, you know, before the weather gets too crummy, let me take him over to the dog park, which I did. And he became, you know, quite the dog about the park. You know, taking a dog that used to run for a living into a park with all these other dogs who don't. They didn't know quite how to handle that. But when we first got there, it's kind of a long story, but I'll make it short. When we first got there, there was no other dogs in the big dog park because he's a big dog. But next to it, sharing a fence, is the small dog park. And there was, I don't know, 7 or 8, maybe 10 dogs. And they all lined up along the fence. I should have gotten a picture of this. I don't know what I was thinking. I didn't do it. But they're all lined up along the fence. And Duke decided, well, he was just going to commence to running. And when he does, I mean, this is a dog that within about 3 strides, he can hit about 45 miles an hour. That's no joke. I mean, they run between 40 and 45 miles an hour. That's why they race them. That's why they're fast, you know. And they're fun to watch when they do it because, man, that's a lot of dog going that fast. And those other dogs just kind of sat there and they were watching him go back and forth. And eventually, this lady brought her dog. She had a larger dog. She brought her dog into the same area that the Duke was in. And boy, those two played. Oh, it was big fun. And the lady was kind of, you know, making sure that nobody was getting hurt, as you do. And eventually, she was just like, "Oh, just go play." And they did. They had a great time. When people finally, you know, spend a little time with these dogs, they understand that they're just as gentle as they can be, and they're just sweet. The world's worst watchdog, I can tell you that. He'd be looking for, you know, where the treats are, and, you know, if somebody comes in the house, you know, the TV's right there. If you don't mind, you know, toss me a milk bone, I'd be much appreciative. But that's how they are. But yeah, I recommend it. If you're looking for a dog, I recommend you getting one of those retired greyhounds. The state of Florida has just passed a law that is going to, which is dumb. They've outlawed racing of the dogs. Some people think it's cruel, but it's not. You can't make a greyhound run. They either do or they don't. And the ones that don't wind up in the adoption programs. And there's adoption programs in every state of the country, just about. And now that Florida, thanks to PETA and those idiots, have put a lot of people out of work, put a lot of dogs out of work. They have until the end of 2020 to close up shop. And now there was this bit of panic, and everybody's like, "Oh, there's going to be, like, you know, 10,000 greyhounds. There's going to be everywhere." It's not going to be like that. They'll be adopted out. It's, you know, there's no euthanasia. They're not putting anybody down. They're just going to get them homes, and that'll be that. And there'll be some other tracks that some of the good dogs will go work at, and such as it is. But if you're looking for a dog, I do recommend them. They're great with kids, and they're good with other dogs. They're a lot of fun, and they do have this very fun personality about them. So if you're looking, if you're in the Memphis area or here in the Mid-South, look up Mid-South Greyhound. Just search that, and you can see them, the ones that they have available for for adoption. Now, when you go to the kennel, and you can meet them, and they bring them out to you, but almost basically one at a time, and they kind of pick you out. It's pretty cool. It's a neat process, but I highly recommend it. Go see Vicky and the kids over there at Mid-South Greyhound if you're in the area, and just look in your state, wherever it is that you are. There's more than likely a greyhound group there that'll hook you up. So you know, go get you one. They're fine dogs. All right, kids. Coming up on the program, Andrea Staton is here. I've already mentioned her. She'll be here in just a moment. Before we get to all of that, I want to tell you about our friends over at the Green Man CBD. Yep, thegreenmancbd.com. There, you've heard a lot of talk about CBD. That's cannabidiol. What can it do for you? What can it not do? People have been having some questions, but everybody I've talked to about it and have tried it have all come back with the exact same response. It's like, holy cow, why haven't I done this before? And that's just it. If you got questions, they have answers at thegreenmancbd.com. In the upper left-hand corner of the site, there's a word that says menu. Click on that, and you can see the frequently asked questions, and it'll answer all your questions. And they've got some good stuff, too. They've got the leading brands there from Green Roads, Veedverx, CB Distillery, 50 Shades of Green, and Chronic Candy, amongst others. They have edibles. They have oils and tinctures, vape kits, e-juice cartridges. They've got all of that for you. Take a look at thegreenmancbd.com. They have free shipping all over the United States. So, take a look, and you can order safely and securely there online. I know these folks. They're great people. They're a fine bunch of folks to work with. And they're knowledgeable, too. So if you have any questions, you can certainly ask them, and they'll hook you up. Yeah, so take a look at them. TheGreenManCBD.com. We'll be right back with Andrea Staton here from Radioland. Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Tonight, here in the studio, we've got Andrea Staton is here. Hello, Andrea.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good, good, good. I know you drove up from Oxford, so thank you so much for that. You know, it's a bit of a poke to get here from there.
Oh, it wasn't too bad. Yeah. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, sure. We've got some of your tunes in here. I already had one of them, apparently, and we're glad to have all your other stuff too. So
glad to be here to share it.
Yeah, and you brought in three guitars, so you're living the rock star life, as you had pointed out earlier. Yeah,
it's a status symbol.
It's of course it is. You just carry it around for looks, you know.
Yeah.
Andrea, how long have you been playing? Is this one of those things you started when you were a little girl, or?
I started playing when I was, I think I got my first guitar when I was 13, for my 13th birthday.
Yeah.
And so I taught myself for the first, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years, except for a handful of lessons from a couple of guys that I knew. And then, you know, I'm not sure how to explain what happened, but that guitar just wound up in the corner, you know.
It happens.
And yeah, it happens. So public service announcement, anyone, if you have a guitar that's just sitting in your living room or in the corner of your bedroom, pick it up and play it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It just takes that one time, you know, and then that monkey's on your back.
Yeah. So, yeah, I went for several years without, you know, really playing very much. And then I moved to Oxford almost 7 years ago. And I was pretty much ready, just a few months before that, I was ready to sell my guitars and my amplifiers. You know, I just don't really play this stuff. I mean, why do I have it sitting around collecting dust, right? So then I moved to Oxford, and Oxford, Mississippi has a really good music scene.
Yeah, they do.
And, you know, really it changed my life. I've always been a music lover. I've always loved music of all kinds, but it just... There's some music there.
Did I do something wrong?
No, I think we're good.
Oh, it's your phone?
Yeah, Natalie. I thought it was my phone.
I thought I had.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's Natalie's fault.
But if
that's
your
okay.
bongo drums in the background.
Yeah, that's what that was. Okay. That's what that was.
I thought it was an alarm of mine. Anyway, so after I moved to Oxford, I started hearing some of the really great music that comes through there, and there are lots of local musicians who are fantastic in Oxford.
Yeah.
And I just became inspired pretty quickly to pick up that guitar again and started playing, and about 6 months later, I went to the North Mississippi Hill Country Picnic.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Brown's a big deal. That's a fun place, yeah.
Yes, yes. It's one of my... It's like what Christmas is to a kid, the Hill Country Picnic is to me.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Did you do the whole camping thing and take a tent and stay out in the field and, you know...
Well, not in a tent. I did it with an RV. So I would say, you know, that I really did it in style, except for the first time that I did it, there was no air conditioning in my RV, and it was like 80 degrees at night.
Yeah, it's hot. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was the real blues experience, but yeah.
Kenny likes to pick the hottest time of the year to have that thing.
That year in particular, that was 2012, and it was in the triple digits for you know, a good week or so, it seemed, right during that time. But I took the Hill Country Picnic guitar workshop.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how I ran across that, maybe on Facebook or somewhere online, and I thought, oh, you know, a guitar workshop,
get a lesson from one of the guys that do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, well, you know, what could it hurt? I'll see if I can learn something. And that's where I met Kenny Brown and Dwayne Burnside, Gary Burnside, and David Kimbrough. And that's when I really got turned on to Hill Country Blues. So
that's my favorite type of blues, is the Hill Country. Yeah. Did you learn the picking and all of that, the dead thumb? And
I can do some of it, yeah.
Yeah. I know that's it, because... Yeah. Learning it is, I mean, the concept seems fairly straightforward, but your thumb has to have a mind of its own to make that happen.
It's a lot harder than it sounds.
It does. And when you watch somebody who's very, very good at it, like Kenny, it looks effortless, but it's not.
No, it's not.
No. I've played around with it myself, and it is like, how do you do this?
Yeah. But once you get in the groove, it's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So that brought you into what you do now, which is, you know, I guess you're full-time playing now, aren't you?
Well, I've only played just a few gigs on my own. I've been playing behind other musicians for a while, played a good bit with Gary Burnside.
Oh, yeah?
Rhythm guitarist, and I've learned a lot from Gary, learned a lot just from being on stage and learning how to play with the band. I've played several times with Dwayne Burnside as well, sat in a few times with Kenny Brown and Cedric Burnside and, a lot of great Hill Country musicians. And I've tried to just soak it up and learn as much as I could. because well, these guys have it just flowing through them.
That's just it. You kind of found yourself being taught by the masters.
Yes.
Everywhere you have turned, every name you have mentioned, or somebody that's just, you know, mm-hmm. you don't really think about. Did you just seek these guys out, or did you just happen to be at the same? Just say, hey, can you show me something?
Just happened to be there. I took that lesson. Well, the Hill Country Workshop was a lesson from Kenny, Dwayne, Gary, and David. And at the end of the day, Gary said, hey, why don't you come sit in with me sometime?
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He must have been impressed with you.
So, I said, so many of these other guys in this workshop are way beyond me, skill-wise. And he said, yeah, but you picked up on what I was showing you faster than the rest of the guys. So, you know, just come and try it out. And I ran into him a couple of months later, and I thought, you know, maybe I should follow up on that. Gary, is that offer still good? He said, yeah, I'm playing in Tupelo in a couple of weeks. Why don't you come over there and sit in? So I went over and sat in, played a song with him. And then just a few times over the next maybe 8 or 9 months, I sat in with him. And then, I don't know, just started playing much more regularly.
Yeah.
About a year after I met him.
Yeah. Well, that is so cool.
He's an amazing musician.
It's neat how it kind of rubs off on you too, doesn't it? You know, when you pick up those techniques and you're sitting there going, oh, I can do this. This is all right, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, blues is a great retirement program for a lot of people, I know.
That's what I'm hoping.
I think our friend Steve Seligman, that's his plan. He's retiring from his from his day job here like this summer.
Yeah.
And I said, what are you going to do after that? And he goes, I'm retiring into the blues, baby. Pick up the guitar and just, you know, I'm going to go gig for a while.
He's already doing it part-time now.
He is doing it part-time, yeah, yeah. So, that's awesome. So you have, one record? Is that the one that we have? I mean, we have, like, 6 or 7 tunes from you, but did you put together, like, just a whole album?
No, I've never really recorded anything.
So. Really?
No, you've gotten me just right out of the gate.
Why not?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I know, recording studio.
I'm going to fix that.
Yeah, you're sitting in one. Actually, go right over there, but nevertheless, yeah. Have you thought about that? You know, sitting down and making a record, bringing in some of the guys that you'd like to play with, and
yeah, I'd like to do that.
Yeah, your stuff, your own stuff, their stuff.
Well, it'd be a combination because I don't have much stuff of my own right now. Just as far as what I've been performing, it's been covers of different musicians, Hill Country Blues and other blues.
Well, sure.
Just other things that I like. But, I don't have enough material to make an album, but there are a couple of guys who I've been talking with recently, and we're going to get together and form a trio. And so we'll see what comes of that.
Writing.
We really get together.
Yeah.
We'll see what comes of that.
Yeah, because I know, do you find writing to be kind of a pain in the butt to do, or is it just a matter of sitting down and doing it, or is it a process that you enjoy?
Well, it's something that I haven't done very much. It's actually a lot easier to come up with the riffs.
Yes.
The words are tough. Writing lyrics, mm-hmm. that's something that's pretty tough.
You need a co-writer.
Right. There have been a couple of times where it just kind of flowed, and that's what I hear a lot of musicians say, oh, well, it just came to me, and I didn't even have to really think about it. And I've had that happen once, but the rest of it, it's work.
Oh yeah, there's different schools of thought on how to do it. You know, some people write the music first, some people write lyrics first. You know, but keep writing, keep doing it. You know, well, so on that, let's hear a tune from you.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
Let's see. Well, I like to do one that probably a lot of people haven't heard yet. It was written by my good friend Gary Burnside, and it was released with. The Hill Country Review. They just released an album, I guess just a couple of months ago. It was a really great album.
Uh-huh.
And it's on there. And I've tweaked the song a little bit, but not much. It's really simple as far as the guitar part of it, but I just think the lyrics are great. It's just a great blues song. You can feel the pain from this song, I think. And it's called Nightmare Riding My Back.
Okay.
So we'll give that a shot.
Yeah, go for it.
Will somebody get this nightmare off of me? somebody. Get this nightmare off of me. Lord, I'm begging. Lord, I'm begging, please. I've been drowning in way over my head. In a battle with this bottle, my friend. Cause this nightmare, he's riding my back. Will somebody get this nightmare off of me? Lord, I'm begging. Lord, I'm begging, please. Will somebody get this nightmare off of me? Lord, I'm begging. Lord, I'm begging, please.
Very nice. Yeah. That's good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's way cool. Yeah. That North Mississippi style is, man, that's something special. You know, I've had to learn, and I wasn't really too aware of this until too long ago, that there is a difference, of course, between the North Mississippi Hill style and then that the Cotton Patch Blues stuff that the Kimbrough's play. And it seems sort of similar, but there's a lot of differences to it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that at first, and really until Robert Kimbrough did the Cotton Patch Blues Festival.
Yeah.
And I've played a couple of times with Robert as well.
Yeah.
And he, you know, pointed out that distinction, and I went back and listened, and I said, yeah, you know, really, it is a very different style. Very cool, though.
It's very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, that whole area, that's just, that. I don't know if it's in the water, if it's the land, the people, or what, but that sound is just remarkable.
It is.
It is very cool.
When you get home, baby, wrap me a few of your lines. When you get home, baby, wrap me a few of your lines. It'll be consolation, Lord, honey, on my worried mind. I'm going down to the river, gonna sit down on
And in the ways of the water, Lord, honey, wash my trouble down.
Andrea Staten at Radio Buffett's there, and write me a few lines here on this Sunday. Andrea's in here. Hey, how's it going?
Andrea.
Hi. Hi, we're back on.
I'm back.
You doing okay over there? I know Mark was...
It's all Mark's fault.
It's all Mark's fault.
It's Major's fault, too.
Yeah, Mary. Major, that's, yeah.
He's going to bring Major into it.
I tell you what, man. That was some fun times for sure. Yeah, well... Moving along. Best not say anymore since we're live on the air.
Yes.
Yeah, don't need that nasty phone call later. So yeah, Andrea, you are you out gigging much these days? Do you play a lot in public, or are you still working up gigs? And
I'm still working up gigs. I played a festival in Oxford last month called Clear Creek,
yes,
Arts and Music Festival. And it was the first year that they had done that. It was a beautiful setting. I think it would have been a really awesome festival, but the weather was just
terrible.
Weather
didn't cooperate, huh?
But I still played. We just didn't have a big turnout. But I think next year it'll probably be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was beautiful out in the country in Lafayette County, just outside of Oxford. And then Eric Deaton, mm-hmm, who's another Hill Country blues musician I've had the pleasure of getting to play with. We did a show together at a place in Oxford a few weeks ago called, they call it Penny Bar, because the whole bar is covered in pennies. I forgot how much money in pennies that actually is, $100-something. I don't know.
That's a lot of pennies.
Yeah, they've got it covered. So, Penny Bar. So, we played there a few weeks ago, and that was fun, just the two of us.
Yeah.
Where are some of the, like, cool blues bars to go for people that don't know in Oxford?
Proud Larry's is not necessarily a blues bar, but you're going to hear some good music when you go to Proud Larry's for sure.
Proud Larry's is kind of an institution down there, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. I've played with Gary lots of times at Rooster's Blues House on the square in Oxford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played there, you know, as the Andrea Staten gig, but I played there a lot with Gary. Yeah. Yeah, Miss Blind Mississippi Morris used to play there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Used to play there a lot. So.
He was down here some time ago, and that was, uh-huh, that was a pretty, he surprised us by just kind of popping in here, and it was cool. His band was here. Yeah, his band was already, they had already been booked to come in here, and when he found out that his band was in here, he's like, well, you're not leaving me behind. And he came and sat right over there where Mark was, Mark standing. It was a great show, and he whipped out the harmonicas, and boy, howdy, he just blew the roof off of this joint. It was really special. He's so cool.
Oh, yeah, I've known him a long time. He is such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy.
He is. His wife is as well.
Yeah, I love Melody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little Joe Ayers and I came, it's probably been about 3 years ago, we came up as a little outing for his birthday. We went to the Gibson Guitar Factory and took a tour.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it, but Joe had gotten in touch with Blind Mississippi Morris and told him that we were coming up there, and so he and his wife met up with us in the store part of it.
Yeah.
And so Joe goes and grabs a probably $3,000 acoustic guitar and sits down and starts playing. And I had the presence of mind to get out my phone and take a little video.
Yeah.
So Joe starts playing and singing, and then Blind Mississippi Morris starts singing along with him. And I looked around. I thought, these people don't even understand what a cool impromptu show this is.
What just is happening right here.
Yeah.
I was hoping you were going to say he whipped out a harmonica.
He didn't whip out a harmonica.
He didn't have one on him.
But he sang. I can't remember what, there were two songs that I captured those guys doing. I can't remember what the second one was, but one was Smokestack Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
And wow. They just killed it. Y'all, I actually put it on YouTube, so if you look up Little Joe Ayers and Blind Mississippi Morris, there is a video took of them.
Good. Oh, that's so awesome.
In the Gibson store, yeah.
That's the thing about Memphis, is that there's so much, first of all, there's so much music here, but I think the Memphians in general just kind of take it for granted, you know?
Probably.
Yeah, there's that whole running gag about, When you're a performer and you look out onto a stage, off the stage into the room, you can always tell who the guys from Memphis are, because they're the ones that are standing with their arms crossed in the back of the room and they're just kind of nodding along. They never really applaud, you know. They just kind of, all right, that's pretty good. But Memphis is a tough town.
I thought it was odd what Mandy said about, I think she was in Germany, and she said when she first played over there and she finished her song, it was just like dead silence.
Yes. I've heard that from Jeff Jensen,
but
too.
But she said that was their way of showing respect.
Yeah. And then they applaud.
Yeah.
Shortly after.
Yeah, like you're sitting there.
And at the end of the show, they go nuts. They'll mob you. Yeah. But, yeah, they're very respectful audiences in Europe, you know. And if you tell them that you're from here, they'll kick their local house band off the stage to get you up there on that spot.
I could believe it. Europeans are crazier about the blues than any people I've ever met. I love how much they love it, too.
You should book yourself a little tour over there.
Wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. You'd do really well.
She would, yeah.
You know, even if you did, like, some of the busking, you know, like, out on the streets, you know, the old school would have the guitar case open, throw a couple of quarters in there. You'd watch what happens.
It sounds like fun. I'd like to do it anyway.
Well, I can't wait to hear you play a little slide.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I might have to break that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I want to hear some of that, too.
You hear my recording, I'll try to do a little more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. How about another tune?
All right. Let's see. I'm going to do one called I Went to the Well, which was written by... Actually, I think it was co-written by Gary Burnside and Shannon McNally, and she released it on her last album, I guess it was about a year ago, something like that. It's a great song.
Okay.
I heard them first play that as a duo, just acoustic, at Proud Larry's a few years ago when they did that. So, yeah, I'll give that one a shot.
Good, good.
I Went to the Well. If a man can tell his heart, if with a man can tell his heart what to do than a woman could do. The heart's got a mind of its own. Heart's got a mind of its own. Oh, heart's got a mind of its own, baby, truth be known. I went to the well. I went to the well. I went to the well. Oh, my baby, and then I fell.
Right on. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. It is so nice to hear that style of blues. I can't compliment you enough on that. I'm glad that you had developed the relationship that you have with it.
Thank you. I'm grateful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And keep doing it, for God's sake. Don't put your guitar in a corner for a while.
We need our blues women.
Yeah, yes, we do. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ladies that do perform and do very well and are making some major strides out there. But yeah, keep doing what you're doing. It's just, you know, it's awesome, absolutely awesome.
Thank you. That's my plan.
Yeah, and you need to get to writing.
you gotta get busy, huh?
You gotta get busy. Of course, I asked that question to Kenny Brown. I said, "Do you write much?" He goes, "Hell, I hadn't written anything in 25 years." You know, but he's busy playing, you know, RL stuff and. Some of his stuff too, you know. Some of the older, yeah. That's the thing about the blues. I think it was George Thorogood that said that all the great blues songs have already been written. And I don't know if there's any truth to that. I don't think so. You know, and that he was just, you know, he was going to consider himself just one of these guys that's going to play all the older stuff, which he does. And then right after he said that, he wrote that Get a Haircut, Get a Real Job, you know, which was a hit for him. You know, I don't know if you remember that or not, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I just remember him being at Mud Island when Tommy was warming up for somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Carlos. I don't remember. But, you know, people were just getting there, and they were getting settled and getting their food and whatever. And he starts playing, and, I mean, he got really pissed.
Really?
Because people weren't responding to him. And so he was screaming out, "Memphis, what's wrong with you?" You know, and stuff like that.
Oh, he needs to calm down. You weren't downwind from him, were you?
No, I was.
He apparently has a thing about soap.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, not for it.
Not good.
No, not good, no.
Not pro soap?
He's not pro soap, apparently. He'll be sweaty and stanky and it's Memphis. it gets kind of funky around here.
Definitely does.
Also, Andrea, we need to build a band around you. I know you said you got a trio that you kind of work with, but you should have a permanent group of people that are playing with you.
Yeah, well, it's just a matter of developing that. You know, all the great musicians out there, they either have their own band or they're playing behind someone else.
Right.
So the logistics of, you know, getting together and, you know, finding time to practice and actually people being available to book those dates.
Wait around from one band to break up or something and then grab somebody.
Well.
Homewrecker.
Well,
maybe.
Well, you know,
it happens. There'd be one artist might, you know, steal somebody from some other band, you know, and, you know, it depends on what kind of deal you can offer them, I guess. Yeah. You know.
But, you know, you have a lot of people who play with several different bands and they all deal with that.
Oh yeah, and you've got a lot of people who like your stuff too. I've noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's good to hear.
They've been all over the video that Mark shot a little while ago. They're in the chat room. They're all saying hello and.
Hey. Nice.
You know. So yeah, you do have your fans. You know, and everybody's saying, "Hey, sounds good, man. This is what we like." Okay. So you know, you don't need to worry about all of that. So I think you could probably get a band together pretty well.
Well.
Then you can come down here and let Rick record you. And
yeah, we can make a record.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, and then bring the whole band in.
We'll
rock
just.
This whole place?
Sure. Been a lot of big records that are made out of here. The Wizard, Birdside's Wizard record was done here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Duck Dunn did his last album here.
Really?
Yes. So, you know, we'd love to have your
record hanging on our wall in the front room, in the green room.
I'd be honored.
Yeah, well, I'd be honored to cash your check, too, but there's enough of that. Andrea Staten is here as well, and she chimed in with her bourbon of choice, which was?
Eagle Rare.
Eagle Rare. I've heard of it. I haven't had it.
Try it.
I will.
It's nice.
Yes. Some nights when I leave here, it's nice to have that, you know?
And soon you'll be able to get it in the grocery store here, from what I've...
I don't know about grocery stores, but it's
the wine at the grocery store.
It's the wine.
Now, if you go to West Memphis, right? You go across the river and you go to Walgreens, they have liquor and wine and beer in there.
That's so crazy. I had a friend who spent a summer living in Aspen, Colorado, and his job was at a place called Sundance Drug and Liquor. Someone decided to put a drugstore and a liquor store together.
Perfect. It's sort of the same thing, really, if you think about it, you know.
I suppose.
I had a great idea for your next song you're going to write, Eagle Rare Blues.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've had the title for my first song in my head for several years. I just haven't written it, but it's a great blues song title called Chicken Bone Flip Flop.
Chicken Bone Flip Flop.
I will just say it was inspired by a trip to the Sunflower Blues Festival in Clarksville, I guess about 5 or 6 years ago.
Encountered a chicken bone in your shoe, did you?
On the tip of my sandals, I was dancing. I believe, who was it there? Robert Plant was there with the Sensational Shapeshifters.
Yeah.
And Patty Griffin, I think, was with him. And I just remember I was out there and I was dancing and really wasn't, you know, watching my feet or anything. And I turned to a friend of mine, and he was like, you know, you've been kicking around that chicken bone for like 20 minutes there. I said, oh.
That's funny.
I did not notice. Great story, yeah.
I did not notice that chicken bone. So, yeah, I think there's a song in there.
Oh, God, yeah, of course there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it into like maybe a shuffle or something like
that.
Yeah,
if there's a story, I think.
Oh, well, sure. That's how songs are written, of course, you know, based on something that's happened either to you or to somebody you know. Yeah.
Chicken bone flip-flop.
You know, and that's the thing here in Memphis is that everywhere you go, there's always chicken bones on the sidewalks or on the side of the road or in the parking lot. I see them all the time. That and the tumbleweave, that's a thing. Ladies' wigs that have wound up, you know, falling off of someone's head, and they just blow down the street, and they're covered in leaves and stuff.
Yeah. You know, them ladies like to fight from time.
Yeah, they do. They get into a fight every once in a while, and somebody loses their hair over this whole thing, and then it just blows through the city. Yeah, you see them all the time. Yeah, not a day goes by where I don't run into one. Yeah.
City living.
Oh, city living for sure.
Chicken bones and hair weaves.
Yeah.
There's another one.
There's another one. You could do a whole thematic record out of the whole thing, Andrea.
Yeah, you can't make that up.
No, you can't. I see you have an acoustic there in your lap.
I do. I broke out this is the acoustic guitar I have that I like to play, slide. I don't play many songs with slide, but this is the one I like to use when I do.
Yeah.
So I had a little request for some slide. So,
Is it, was slide one of those things also just kind of self-taught as well? Because it's not very easy to do either. I mean, it seems simple, but it's...
Well, the second year that I went to the Hill Country Picnic, I took that guitar workshop again, and Luther Dickinson was one of the instructors.
Oh, well, okay. So you got a slide lesson from Luther.
So I got a little slide lesson from Luther. Well, it was me and about, I'd say at least 10 other people.
Yeah, but still.
In a little class, but yeah, we were all just like soaking it up. The man is so passionate about music and so knowledgeable.
Yeah. And just a nice guy. Yeah.
Yes.
He's just a very nice guy.
A very nice guy, he is. So yeah, he showed us a little bit about slide. And since then, one day I was able to get Kenny Brown to sit down and show me a little bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another great slide guy.
Absolutely. So, the one I'm going to do is one that I had already kind of learned how to do just from watching Kenny Brown do it on a YouTube video.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, that's pretty good, except, you know, you messed this up. Do it like this. So, yeah. So I try to do it like Kenny now. A little more like Kenny.
A little more like Kenny.
A little less messed up than what I was doing on my own. So, you know.
Is it possible to mess up playing the blues? I guess, suppose it is, but.
Well, I heard someone say, I can't remember who they were quoting, you know, if you hit the wrong note, it's not really a mistake unless the note you hit after that note is what determines whether or not that was a mistake.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it makes sense. Yes.
So it's really, can you just make it through? Can you pretend that was just a little jazz note?
A little jazz note, yeah.
A little jazz note in there, as my friend Libby Ray Watson says. Well, that was just a jazz note. That's all that was.
Jeff likes to say that. Jeff likes to say that that he's shocked that most lyrics of songs don't have the words "oh shit" in it. I didn't mean to play that. Oh shit, you know. It happens. Yeah, you know, that's right. Well, let's hear some slide then.
All right, let's do it. For some reason, I have to turn the amp up way louder to play with this.
Oh, that's fine. You're good.
So I believe this was written by Mississippi Fred McDowell.
Okay.
So it's called "You Gotta Move." To move, child, yeah, you got to move. 'Cause when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. You might be high, you might be low. You might be rich, child, yeah, you might be poor. But when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. You see that one out on the street? You see that policeman out on the beat? But when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. You got to move. You got to move. You got to move, child, yeah, you got to move. 'Cause when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move.
Very nice. That's beautiful. That's very, very nice. Yeah.
As Kenny Brown says, it's a true story. It's a true story.
Yeah, true story. Yeah, and I like that you're finger picking there. That's cool. Yeah. Well, obviously in open tuning, it's a little more, I don't know, not simple, but it's a little more. I don't know. It's like an insurance policy that you're going to be okay with an extra finger on those strings. You know, there's no jazz notes, right?
A little backup.
Yeah. that it is. You want to do another one since you got that guitar there, or you want to play one off of that?
Let me get out a different one.
Okay.
The slide for now.
Okay.
The other one I really like to do, which I would do on slide right now. We already played so Kokomo Medley. But, I'll break out one of the other guitars.
Well, sure, yeah.
Make that rock star move.
Costume, make the rock star move.
Costume change.
Yeah, you brought three guitars down here, for God's sake. You might as well use them, such as it is.
But I'll do some more hill country blues.
Oh, well, of course. That's what it's all about. A little bit later on in the program tonight, Mark Caldwell is going to give us an update with the Memphis Blues Society and let us know what else is happening around here. We got, of course, a big event that's coming up, a benefit for... Dr. Green, so we'll get you some more details on that. That's coming up too. So it's another acoustic.
Yes, this guitar is a guitar that. Let me turn this back down. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
This is the guitar I play.
Sounds great.
Doesn't it, though? You like that? Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
Yeah, ghost in here or something. Yeah, this guitar is the guitar that I used when I took that Hill Country picnic workshop.
Yes.
When I met all those guys. And so
you've got some autographs on.
Yeah, they've all signed it, haven't they?
I got some autographs. So at first I decided, well, I saw someone backstage passing around a guitar. They were getting it signed. It was for the raffle. And I thought, oh, gee, that's a pretty good idea. I have my guitar right here. So I got my four teachers from that day, Kenny, Dwayne, Gary, and David, to sign it. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, I can probably get some more.
Yeah.
And I didn't get everyone, but I got lots and lots of great autographs on here, and then just sweated a lot of it off.
Oh, no.
It was 100 degrees.
Oh, well, so, you know.
That and, yeah, just over time.
Just over time.
But, a lot of good vibes. I had some great autographs on here that are rubbed off now, but at least I know they were there. It was like T-Model Ford, Robert Belfort.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They were right there.
They were right there where your arm
they're
is.
They're in there.
Yeah, they're in
there.
Yeah.
So, special, good vibes.
Oh, sure.
This guitar, so.
Yeah. So you're saying that guitar's not for sale then?
It is not.
I got you. Does it
have a name?
It is not.
Have you named it yet?
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
That's something to think about.
See, there's another song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another song right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I don't know. I've just I started learning how to play a little bit in open E tuning.
Yes.
And play a little bit of Jessie Mae Hemp Hill.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she was, you know, a lady of the Hill Country Blues when, I don't know if there were any other ladies of Hill Country Blues.
Blind Mississippi, you know? Used to talk about her a lot.
I wish I could have met her.
She had that infectious giggle to her, you know. She just seemed like a great, fun lady to be around.
Yeah, that's my impression just from the videos that I've seen and from what, you know, people have told me, people who actually knew her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, which one of hers are you doing?
Why don't I do Streamline Train? So here we go. Said that mean old Streamline around the bend, said that mean old Streamline coming round the bend. Said I hope and I pray, yeah, bring our baby back again. Said that mean old Streamline sure will trouble your mind. Said that mean old Streamline sure will trouble your mind. Said he'll take your baby, yeah, leave you standing there crying. Said that mean old Streamline stole my baby from me. Said that mean old Streamline stole my baby from me. Said I hope and I pray, yeah, bring my baby back to me. Said I hate to hear Streamline whistle blow. Said I hate to hear Streamline whistle blow. said it blow just like, ain't gonna blow no more. Said that mean old streamline stole my baby from me. Said that mean old streamline stole my baby from me. Said I hope and I pray, yeah, bring my baby back to me. Said that said that mean old streamline go down Santa Fe. Said it took my baby, yeah, blow back after me. Said it blows so lonesome, like it ain't gonna blow no more. So I was just standing here looking, hate to see my baby go. Said that mean old streamline sure will trouble your mind. Said that train sure will trouble your mind. Said it'll take your baby, yeah, standing there crying. So that's a mean train.
Beautiful. Great job. That guitar does sound lovely. It's got a nice tone to it.
Thank you. I like it.
I think it's all the autographs that you have on it.
It has to be.
It has to be.
It has to be something in there.
Hi, Natalie. How are you?
Hey, Rick. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, you are. Okay. So is Andrea Staten over there.
I am.
Yes. And I'm glad I met you up in the parking lot and you said your last name, because I was going to say Staten, and I know that's not right.
It happens, though.
I have an effed up last name myself, so I've heard all permutations of it, you know.
How'd you know that wasn't right? Because we're in the South and we have to say it differently.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
you know,
no, you're right.
I just, yeah, you know, but you know, and I know how it is. It's your name. You want people to pronounce it right. So,
well,
you know.
Speaking of,
Is it?
Aren't you Stephen Seligman?
That's right.
Seligman.
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 You've been saying it different.
I have.
They're gonna wear him out.
That's why I said uh-oh when she went, oh, speaking of.
Yeah. So before we get into this, I have to ask Andrea real quick, because I've already taken like a survey around the studio.
Uh-oh.
Has anybody ever told you that you look like Uma Thurman?
I have heard that a few times.
Yes, thank you.
I have heard it a couple times. Yeah. Victory dance.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Yeah, I've heard that a few times. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe Uma could star you or play you in a film about you.
There you go.
Yeah.
May have to give her guitar lessons, maybe, but
I think we could work that out.
She might need a facelift by then.
Are you? I know you are. You have a day job. Are you looking at a point where you can put that aside and just focus 100% of your time on music?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I don't think it'll happen within the next couple of years or anything, but yeah, one day I would like to do that, or I would like to go from working full time at what I currently do to backing off and doing that part time,
right?
And spending more time with music, and also I teach yoga, so. You know, I'm a busy woman.
Yeah, you are a busy woman.
But yeah, the more music, the better.
Yeah,
me. And so if people are liking what I'm doing, I'm definitely going to keep that up. And now I think you guys have kind of lit a fire under me, and I have no more excuses to not go on and write an album, or at least write some of these songs that I have ideas for. So yeah.
It's like what you were saying earlier about, you know, the guitar sits in the corner. It sits there forever, and then one day you pick it up and you start playing, and then you're back in there. And it's the same thing with writing. You know, you just sit down and just do a little bit of it and see how it goes. You know, and the more you do it, it might be easier. You never know.
It's one way to find out.
One way to find out is to, you know, give yourself a little bit of time to do some writing. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Never know. One day that chicken bone riff's going to hit you.
I really think it is. I think it is, and I think it's going to rock. It's going to be pretty raw, I have a feeling. Those were sandals I was wearing, but chicken bone flip-flop sounds like the best.
Well, that works better. Title. Yeah, chicken bone sandals don't work right. Yeah.
It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't have a ring to it. Chicken bone flip-flop, I think I can do something with.
Hell yeah.
So I'll have to come back one of these days and play that one for you.
You can come back anytime you want. Before I forget, where can people, can those songs that we have, can people pick those up anywhere, or is that just, we're just lucky to have them?
Y'all just the people who wanted to hear them, so that's what you got. But, you know, hopefully one day soon I'll be able to share that with everyone. But those are just some recordings I made at home on my phone, just with an app.
Yeah.
And sent those in to you guys. They're just songs that I really enjoy playing and singing. You know, I backed up other people for so long, and you know, I still love to do that. There are a lot of songs that I can play, but then when I started singing, it's like, oh, I can't really sing all of those songs that I play. At least it's not easy for me to do that. You have to find songs that suit your voice,
right?
And you know, you also have to consider like how complicated it is to play that song while
singing
needs to be happening. So a lot of coordination, a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot that I've had to learn.
Don't let that stop you. You know, somebody else will do it.
Yeah.
Or write music to your voice. You know.
There you go.
That way, you know, you've got all that covered. And then when you get good and comfortable with all that, then we need to add a kick drum and a kick snare. So you got both your feet going, you got both your hands going, and you're singing and playing leads and rhythms at the same time. You know.
I think that's a plan.
Like Lightning Malcolm. You've seen him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. He can
Josh
make it
Roberts
happen.
Used to do that.
Josh
too.
Roberts, Bad Apple. You know, he's
Richard Johnston.
Yeah. There's a bunch of guys that have done that. You can certainly step right into those shoes. Get you a steady gig over here on Beale Street. You'll be moving to Memphis. You know, get a couple of tattoos. You'll be right in there.
Whole world will just open up and be my oyster.
Get you a pair of sunglasses and a hat.
Hat and sunglasses. Pick up some really bad habits. Stop that whole yoga nonsense, you know. So that's how it is. That's how it is. Well, you know, and something else you might want to consider too is and maybe you've thought about this, but getting involved with the International Blues Challenge.
Yes. We've got a solo duo.
Solo duo, part of the competition.
Next fall. Yeah. Next fall.
Yeah.
Do it, girl.
Yep, that's for sure.
And it's a great networking opportunity. You should come up for it in January anyway. Mm-hmm. It's how many days? 3 days?
That's
4 days?
A whole week.
The national one, right?
Yeah, the big one.
Tuesday
through Saturday in January.
The IBC.
IBC here in Memphis.
You
and
need
it's
to come up and check it out.
And it's every blues player from all over the world.
Like 200 different blues societies send a representative.
Yeah, I wanted to come to that last year. I can't remember what all
Had a yoga class, probably.
I probably had a yoga class. I was oming.
You were oming.
I was oming. You know, got to find some balance there. yeah, but some good friends of mine actually made it to the finals. Yeah. Wes Lee and Libby Ray Watson were finalists. And I think they were sponsored by, maybe Indianola Blues Society, I think is how they got on there. They went to the finals. I was really, really proud.
You need to come up.
The Memphis Blues Society sent Fuzzy Jeffries, and he took second.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. They're also open jams in the evenings. Invite jams, but they have open jams so you can get up and play.
So I just need to get up there and be ready with it.
Yeah, those jams are legendary. The IBC jams. That's when everything is done, and then it goes to like 6 a.m. I think in some places. Yeah, yeah.
That's when the fun happens.
That's exactly right.
Just bring a coat.
Bring a coat. Yeah. It'll be cold. Yeah. But yeah, you should consider that maybe next year, even getting involved in it. And are you a member of? Is there a Blue Society in Oxford? Are you a member here or?
There isn't one there that I'm aware of. I'm kind of ashamed that I don't know about it. But
don't be surprised by that. There's one in Nashville that kind of folded.
Really?
Yeah, it pissed me off when I heard about it because it's a music city and they just abandoned it.
Wow.
And those there's a lot of blues musicians over there that were left.
They had a really good blues society.
Not anymore, they don't.
Wow, I did not know that.
But if there's not one there, then you could join here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get with that man right there. And when you're a member of the Blues Society, then you can compete in these, not really compete, it's a challenge, but you can take part in these challenges and work your way in. You get picked in a solo duo capacity. It's a 20-minute performance.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that, too, is anybody that was in our contest that didn't win, they could also enter another Blues Society contest as long as they were in a 150-mile radius.
Oh, I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Okay.
So, yeah, a little something else to think about.
I'll have myself together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So much just to keep working at it. From different societies. Some musicians.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Yeah, they find their way in, you know.
I know.
Yeah. Just go around and work the right people.
And exactly. But perhaps you could bring a blues yoga workshop to the thing.
Of course, possible. There's a guy who has wanted me to lead a yoga class at the Juke Joint Festival.
Wow!
He was trying to talk me into doing that last year because the past, I guess, 4 years I've played that festival with someone.
Sure.
Usually with Gary and sometimes with Dwayne or someone else too. So
what is this like? This hot yoga I hear about. What is that?
It's July in Memphis. Everything is Bikram here.
Yeah, it's just like go outside in the summertime in the South and do yoga. Well, that's basically what it's like. It's different from Bikram. Bikram is a certain set of poses, and I think it's like really strict from what I understand. Like you're not supposed to wipe your brow. You can't like stop and get water or something. I've never taken a Bikram class.
Oh my.
But these are the things that I hear about it. Like it's sort of strict yoga, which
militant,
which is just complete opposite of what I think yoga ought to be, but they have some classes that are just hot yoga classes that aren't any certain set of poses. It's just whatever all levels class the teacher came up with, but they get it up to about 95 in the room.
Oh, my.
I didn't think I would like it. I really didn't think I would like it. I started doing yoga and I was in pretty bad shape. And anyway, after doing it maybe about 6 months or so, everyone was talking about the hot yoga, and I was like, I don't like to sweat. I don't know if I really
want to. But you live in Oxford.
So, but then when I went and I took a class, and it was in the fall, so it wasn't 100 degrees outside. That makes a difference. And I don't know, it just really felt cleansing.
Because you're just sweating it all out.
It was a good sweat. Well, you have to kind of be careful because your muscles are warmed up, so you have to be careful not to overstretch because you might feel a little looser than you usually are, and you can't, really push your edge there. But it's a good workout for sure, and it does feel really cleansing. And this time of year, well, I would say this time of year, but it was almost 80 degrees today. This time of year when it's like actual fall temperatures are when it gets into the winter time and maybe 50 degrees outside and you go into a hot yoga class, it feels so nice. So nice.
Until you walk back out.
No, and then you walk back out. It's like, yeah, yeah, then you're cold.
Yeah. You get steam coming off of you, yeah.
Right. The refreshing part of hot yoga in the Mississippi or Tennessee summer is, you know, when you walk out of the class and it's 90 degrees outside and it feels good.
Yeah.
It feels like you've gotten a breath of fresh air. I know. It sounds bizarre.
But it is bizarre.
Okay.
It's very bizarre.
I don't teach a hot yoga class, though. It's hard to talk and teach in a hot room.
Well, sure.
Like that.
Everybody's uncomfortable and cranky.
No, they're all zen.
They're all zened out.
They're so zen.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, perhaps you could, you know, drag the blues into it. Why not teach a class down at the festival? Why not?
I just have to find a place to do it, yeah.
Sure.
And I think that would be a good thing to do. Not hot, though.
No, not hot, no. A refrigerated.
Cool.
A cool
blues
one.
Blues yoga.
Play some blues in the background instead of, you know.
I have some blues on my playlist that I make for my classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Eric Deaton, I have a couple of his songs that are just really slow and groovy. And there's a song that he put on two of his albums called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, it's A-L-A-P, A-L-A-P, or A-L-A-P. And I think he told me one time it translates into introduction. I think that's what that means. But he started out both of his albums that way. And on one of them, it just has regular guitar, and he's doing some slide on it. And then the other one, it has a sitar.
Oh, neat.
So it sounds all...
Old Indian and whatnot.
Groovy.
Yeah, Zen Indian and groovy. Yeah,
it does.
Dim the lights, you know.
Mm-hmm. It works.
Smoke a joint, have a shot, come in and do some yoga.
We're not in Colorado.
But you are dealing with blues musicians, though. I know how that is.
It sounds sort of George Harrison.
Yeah.
How he got into all that.
Yeah. With, what was his name? Baba, I think it was. It was Yogi something Baba. I can't think of the guy's name. The Who wrote a song about him. That's which is where Baba O'Reilly comes from.
Rashish.
That sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah. All 60s and weird. You know, speaking of yoga, you know what the big thing is now? Yoga with goats.
That's.
I'm serious. I don't get
it.
They're doing it up in like Vermont, which is about right. And you go into a barn and you practice yoga, and there's baby goats everywhere.
I don't get the point of any of this.
Baby goats are cool. I'm not making this up.
No, it's for real.
Look up goat yoga sometime. I'm serious as a heart attack.
It's for real. I just don't understand it. I mean, I have a cat at home, and it's hard enough to. I mean, if I want to practice yoga in my living room,
yeah, the cat's going
to
get involved.
Is enough to ruin the whole thing. Forget about it. A bunch of goats.
Because everybody's going to stop and go, "Oh, look, it's a cute little baby goat,"
and it's hopping off of you, and jumping around on your back. No,
yeah, yeah.
I just had a thought about, you know, those fainting goats.
Yeah. Yeah. Curtis sent over a video. He heard us talking about the yoga thing, and he sent over this video of doing yoga with your dog, and it's hysterical. We all got a laugh out of that, including the yoga instructor in the room over here. That's not her full-time gig. She's a blues woman is what she is. And Andrea Staten is here. For a little while longer, we're about to put a fork in this show for the night.
You're about to boot me on out of here.
About to take ourselves off the air. We're about done. Yeah, you made it. You made it to the end of the show. How about that?
I'm amazed. Time has flown.
Well, I hope you had a good time.
Absolutely.
And we're going to hear more music from you before you leave. I'm going to at least squeeze another tune out of you here before too terribly long.
Yeah.
Do you have any? Do you have any known gigs or performances coming up?
Just one major gig coming up, and that's on New Year's Eve in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
At a place called South Street Live. From what I understand, it's a pretty large venue. It's right beside the Cat Head Vodka place there.
Oh, the distillery?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's going to be like I think they're calling it the Mississippi Blues Jam for New Year's Eve. So I'm on that, as well as Bill Abel, Libby Ray Watson, Eric Deaton, and Kenny Brown. So,
well, that's quite the lineup, yeah.
Yes, I'm honored to be a part of that.
Happy
so,
New Year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, bring in the new year with those guys, yeah.
Yes,
that's
going to
be fun.
That's going to be big fun. So if you're in the Jackson area, New Year's, yeah, come ring it in with us. We'll be rocking the Hill Country Blues and having a good time.
I know Kenny plays a lot down in there and down in New Orleans. One of my neighbors mm-hmm. Who's across the street from me is his drummer. And, you know, he's always let me know when he's going out of town. He goes, yeah, I got a thing. Yeah, Kenny called. I got a thing. So, yeah, you know, he's played with – he brought Kenny in here one night. That was a hell of a night, too. It was so much fun. Because Kenny is just – he's Kenny, you know.
I know. I do.
You know, the adopted white son of Varel Burnside. Mm-hmm. And the stories that he would tell are just – they're phenomenal.
Yeah, a friend of mine, this guy I was talking to, he's one of this group called the Hoodoo Men. His name's Sammy Baker. He's out of the Nashville area, and we were talking about Kenny Brown. He said the girl he was dating went to hear Kenny Brown, and he's like, well, all right, well, what did you think about it? And she said, it was like I just listened to Led Zeppelin's dad.
I don't know if that's a compliment or...
I think it's a compliment.
Yeah, I would say so.
I think it's a compliment because I think, you know, I was a huge Led Zeppelin fan.
Oh, sure.
You know, well, high school kids.
Greatest blues band that ever played.
We just didn't know. I just didn't know I was listening to the blues, really.
Yeah, that first album is a cover record. That's all it is.
So,
yeah. Yeah. And it's funny, too, because a lot of guitar players, they've cut their teeth in rock and roll and would find their way back into the blues, you know. Mm-hmm. They hang up the spandex, if you will, and decide, hey, I'm going to go play some blues, and we see that too. Like it, you know, some other ones one of the jams over at the Stage Stop, it was a night, and there was a bunch of metal guys in there, and I was like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh man, we dig this stuff, man. And, you know, they were like bass players and stuff. This is something really intricate for us to play instead of that, you know, all that crazy stuff. You know, for music, it's the musician's music form, really. I think. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to agree with that. Yeah,
you know, it's you know, Stephen and I will often talk about this too. About, you know, it even though it looks so simple and it seems relatively effortless, you're doing a lot.
There's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. It may just be one chord, but by God, you're doing a lot in there.
Yeah. Rhythmically, it's tough.
Yeah, with some of that, there's as much going on with the right hand as there is with the left. You know. Rhythmically.
Yeah, and Hill Country is notorious for that, yes. Too. You know.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, before we get you out of here, can we hear another tune from you?
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Hill Country.
A little Bobby Blue Bland.
Oh, yeah.
Love Light.
Yeah, we can do that.
And I'd like to dedicate this to Joyce Jones. Joyce She-Wolf Jones suffered a stroke
yes.
a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And, I mean, you guys know you've had her in here. She's a powerhouse blues
dynamite
voice.
Lady yes
yes dynamite lady
yeah
so yeah let's I'd like to dedicate this to her and just send a little love her way.
Absolutely.
As she heals.
Yes,
we want her back.
Yes,
Joyce rocks.
Yes, yes she does. Yeah, stroke is so damn scary, and this one hit her kind of hard. But I hear she's starting to make some recovery. It's a long road to recover out of that.
Yes, yes, it can be. But from what I've heard, you know, she's, like you said, she's making some improvements, so I feel pretty hopeful about it. I've been quite concerned about her. I was planning on seeing her. She was going to be at Red's in Clarksdale.
Yeah.
I think the morning of that day was when she suffered the stroke. I was going to go see her that night. I'd been planning on it, looking forward to it for a while, and then they were like, Joyce had a stroke today. I was like, you really got to be kidding me. So,
do you play down at Clarksdale
so
much?
For her.
Or have you played down there?
I've played at the Jute Joint Festival.
Yeah.
I guess probably four times. Past couple of years, I've played there with Gary for his gig there. Mm-hmm. And Dwayne has had other gigs. There's a place down there called Pete's Grill.
Mm-hmm.
And just by the way, I'm not someone who's really into chicken wings. I know people love chicken wings. Y'all. if you want some good chicken wings, you go to Pete's Grill in Clarksdale, Mississippi. Just another public service announcement.
And be sure and wear flip-flops when you do.
And wear flip-flops. Wear flip-flops. So, yeah, I've played a little bit down there. Yeah. I sat in with Cedric Burnside and Trenton Ayers at Shack Up Inn one time. That was a treat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. Good times for sure. All right, well, I'll get this going. Little Bobby Blue Bland, and I like to educate people about it. I know everyone listening, and definitely everyone in this room knows this is Bobby Blue Bland. A lot of people I've played it for, they think they're listening to the Grateful Dead, and they just go nuts about it because they're Dead fans, and that's cool. That's fine, but I'm like, well, you know, this is actually blues music you're listening to and you didn't know it. So, you know, here you go. Without a warning, you stole my heart. You took it, baby, you tore it apart. You left me standing in the corner crying. You said your love for me was dying. So come on, baby, baby, please. I'm begging you, baby, I'm on my knees. Turn on your light, let it shine on me. Turn on your love light, let it shine on me. Let it shine, shine, shine. Get a little lonely in the middle of the night. Need you, baby, make things all right. Come on, baby, baby, please. I'm begging you, baby, I'm on my knees. Turn on your light, let it shine on me. Turn on your love light, let it shine on me. Let it shine, shine, shine.
Right on. There you go. I can see where people think that would be the Grateful Dead, the way you play it. It's a good song. Very, very good.
I think that should be on your first CD.
Think so?
Yeah. And I was, is this the tambourine? I mean, I kept thinking, where's the tambourine? Is this the song you were talking about earlier?
No, that's not the one. That was actually one I didn't play. I did send it in on an MP3, Baby Please Don't Go. Streamline Train would have been good with a tambourine, but I was thinking Baby Please Don't Go really could use one. Yeah, but Love Light. Yeah.
Why not?
When I record it, I'll definitely try some tambourine.
Thank you. Yeah. That'll make me happy.
That makes her happy. Yeah.
I think we can do that.
Why not? Andrea, thank you so very much for coming in on a Sunday evening like this and spending some time with us here in the studio.
Thanks so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Anytime. Next time you're in the area, which I'm expecting you to be around for the IBC in January.
I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah. Okay. It's the last full week of the month of January.
I'll put it on my calendar.
And, you know, you can come here and we'll have fun down there and it'll be fun.
That'd be great. Well, I've wanted to come to it the past couple of years anyway. And, I'm just going to have to make it happen.
Nothing else. Just come like Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm. That's the finals. Yeah. It'll be fun. And then be prepared to jam to the hours of the morning, as it were. So,
do a lot of yoga that week.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Get my Om on.
Get my Om on.
Hang out with my Omies.
Well, right. Andrea Staten, everybody. Thank you so very much. We'll see you next time, okay?
Thanks. My pleasure.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Here in studio, Mark Anthony Lee is here and Willie Covington is here.
What's up?
Fellas?
What's going on?
How are you?
All right.
Hanging out.
Hanging out, causing trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you.
Trouble's my middle name.
You got some trouble. You're getting ready to start up over at Graceland.
Yeah, we're going to be in the next week. We're doing the annual WC Handed Heritage Music Awards. We got some people coming in going to help us out. We got Willie Carlson going to get an award this year. And we got Danny Mac and we got Zeno. And the guy with the band, we got James Jackson.
Did you say Janet Jackson?
James Jackson. Of the King Bees and Solomon of the King Bees.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Well, who knew that talking blues music and yoga would ever come up in the same conversation with goats, no less, but there it was. It was great fun. Thank you, Andrea. We had a ball with you. And you heard what's coming up next time on the program. Mark Anthony Lee and Willie Covington. It's a great show. A lot of history there. A lot of fun. So that's coming up next time here on the old program. So there you go. In the meantime, I'm done. I got to go. I got places to get into, things to start. I don't know. Whatever it is I'm going to get into, it'll be fun nonetheless. Always on the move, I am. You know me. Thank you for being a part of the program. Until next time, please take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.